Well, you know, this is Memorial Day weekend. And what's Memorial Day? Time to remember. Absolutely. Chiefly, this day, Memorial Day, which is really tomorrow, but this is Memorial Day weekend, has been set aside by our nation as a time to remember the soldiers who have served and sacrificed to give us our freedom and the life that we live today. You know, we'd like to think that really it wasn't necessary for the people to have to put their life on the line for their country, but as we look at history and everything, it appears that it was necessary because we'd still be under England's rule, I guess, if they hadn't, and a lot of things would be a lot different. But war is so repulsive that we sometimes have mixed emotions about honoring the heroes of war. But you know, even in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, many soldiers are honored and labeled as valiant men. What they did and putting their life on the line and many times giving their lives for the things they believed in didn't go without honor. Remember, they had a song about David. They sang, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s. Of course, old Saul, he didn't much like that song, but he had to live with it anyway. But they sang that in honor of David. I was reading the Bible here a while back and I came across a verse of Scripture that kind of made me sit up and take notice. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, said, well, I used to believe in God, but they sent me to Vietnam, and I don't believe there is a God anymore. And I said, well, why would you conclude a thing like that? And he said, because if there was a God, I don't think he'd let things happen like that. He said, I saw all those people killed and everything. But I got thinking about that, and I told Margaret, I said, some people may not believe in God because the God that they have conjectured in their mind is not the same as the true and living God. And the verse that I came across that kind of made me sit up and take notice is Exodus 15 and the first four verses, really. It says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Isn't that a strange statement? I used to get excited when people called God a man. They said, talk about the big man or the man upstairs, and I don't go for that. Because that's like calling me a grasshopper. I'm not a grasshopper. God's not a man. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. That's over in the book of Numbers, I believe it is. But here it says, the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has He cast into the sea. His chosen captives also are drowned in the Red Sea. So God didn't man the guns or the rockets, but He cleaned out Pharaoh's army that day, didn't He? So I guess one way of looking at it, God is a man of war. But today we want to talk about some spiritual memorials. We have a lot of things that we remember. You ever heard the expression, remember the Alamo? Well, ask some Texan about that if you're not familiar with it, and he'll tell you what it's all about. Or we may have heard the expression, remember Pearl Harbor. You know, my dad was in World War II, and he told me a lot of things that, would just kind of curl your fingernails. It went on in World War II. But he said the Lord was with him. He enlisted, but he didn't wait to be drafted because he thought maybe he could get more of what he wanted. And he said he went through 4 years of it, never having to fire a shot at anybody because he didn't want to. He was an automobile mechanic. And he worked on the tanks and the jeeps and things. So he went through and he had some honors and so forth, but he never had to fire a shot because that's what he chose. But he was in World War II, and we remember Pearl Harbor. As terrible as it was, I guess it was something that we remember as maybe a great lesson that we get from it. And some people have said we need to remember the mine, the ship, the mine from the Spanish-American War. But you know, the greatest heroes for us to remember today in the church are the great spiritual heroes that fought and sacrificed to give us our religious heritage. The Hebrew writer said, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder." Tradition has it that the prophet Isaiah was one of those that was sawn in two. You know, Houdini or whatever did it as a magic act. They did it for real. "They were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So here the Hebrew writer goes down the Memorial Hall of Fame for the great spiritual leaders. And it's good for us to remember them. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "Remember the elders, remember them that have the rule over you." And today we're going to look at some of the things that we need to remember. We need to remember the people that sacrificed and that put their life on the line to give us the church and the Bible. You know, what if the apostles had been cowards? What if the prophets of the New Testament church had been afraid to get their feet in the water, so to speak, to get into the hot water of trials and mockings and persecutions, things of this nature? Well, we wouldn't know anything about the Bible, would we? We wouldn't know anything about the church. We need to remember these great spiritual leaders that many of them not only put their life on the line, but gave their lives. We read about the Christian martyrs, those that were fed to wild beasts, those that were burned at stake because of their stand for the faith. We need to remember people like that. In Luke 17, verse 32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." We need to remember Lot's wife. You know, it's not that she is so great. It's not that she set a good example at all. We're reminded of her bad example, her failure. Reflecting on the mistake that she made reminds us not to be tempted by all the attractions that the world has to offer. You know, when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He told Lot and his wife to flee and not to look back. And the Bible says that she, in disobedience to God, looked back and became a pillar of salt. And I was reading Josephus here a while back, and it said that he'd seen that pillar of salt that used to be Lot's wife. And you know, he was a Bible time historian. And he said he'd seen that pillar of salt that used to be Lot's wife. He was a secular man. He wasn't a religious man. But Jesus said we need to remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her for being so attracted to the things of the world that she couldn't resist looking back. And remember what happened to her when she disobeyed God. You know, people like this remind us of what a person can get into for disobeying God. You know, I like a little salt in the shaker. But I wouldn't want to be made out of salt, would you? I wouldn't want to be turned to a pillar of salt. So if she couldn't get by with disobeying God, I don't think I can, and I don't think you can either. You know, there are a lot of memorials in the Bible. What is a memorial? Well, a lot of times to us, a memorial is a statue or a monument that is erected with some inscription on it that it's in memory of something. A memorial is a token of remembrance, something that helps us to remember. You know, the children of Israel had a lot of memorials. They had the 12 stones that were taken out of the midst of the Jordan River. Remember that? God enabled them to cross the Jordan River and escape their enemies. And they took up 12 stones, a stone for each tribe of the children of Israel. And they brought them up out of the river and they set them up on a hill for a memorial. And they told their children about it. You know what those 12 stones out there are? Those nice round stones, and they were big as I could carry, you know, that we took up out of the river. That is a memorial of the time that we were really in a pinch. We didn't have anywhere to go, and our enemies were after us and everything. And God parted the waters and let us cross the river, and He delivered us. That was a memorial. The bowl of manna that was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, that was a memorial. And they could show that to their children. They could say, you remember us telling you about God delivering us from Egyptian bondage? Well, we got out there in that wilderness. We didn't have a thing to eat. You know, we were going to perish. We would have starved to death. But you know what God did? He gave us something to eat. He gave us bread from heaven. And He sustained us. And Aaron's rod that budded, they put that in the Ark of the Covenant. They kept that as a memorial. It was a dry stick and a staff or a stick, you know, was used sometimes to work a miracle to convince Pharaoh that God was with the children of Israel. Moses threw down his rod and it became a stick. We think of a rod as a piece of iron. But it was a stick, a wooden stick. And Aaron's rod budded. You remember the children of Korah? That they said, well, who's this Moses and Aaron trying to lead us, you know? And God had His rod to bud. And not only to bud, but it bloomed. It put out sprout. And it grew leaves and budded and it bloomed. And they kept that rod as a memorial of how that God had made His covenant with me. And remember the rainbow? Even to this day, it's a great memorial of Noah's flood and of what happened back then, the promise that God made to Noah in Genesis 9. God says, I'll establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I'll make between me and you and every living creature that's with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it'll come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I'll remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. You know, sometimes I have to tie a string around my finger to remind me of something. I guess you could say that string's a memorial. But you know, I got older and I have to write myself a note now to tell me what the string stands for. But it makes me feel a little bit better when I realize that God made himself a memorial. How about that? He put the bow in the cloud so he wouldn't forget the promise that he'd made. And he said, when I see that bow in the cloud, I remember the promise that I made. It'll be a memorial. But you know, the greatest memorial that we have today is that simple memorial here on this table before us. It's what we call the Lord's Supper. And like it says across the front of this little table here, this do in remembrance of me. It's a memorial. It's something to remember our Savior by. It reminds us of what Jesus did for us. And whenever I think of what Jesus did for me, you know what the next thought is? Next thought for me is, oh my goodness, where would I be without it? Paul told the Ephesians, wherefore remember that ye at that time were Gentiles in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without God, being strangers from the covenants of promise, and estranged, I've read too many translations, from the covenants of promise, and having without God and having no hope in the world. Man, isn't that sad? That's where I'd be without Jesus. I'd be without God and having no hope in the world. But this is a memorial of what God has done for us. It reminds us of Jesus giving his body to be nailed to the cross in my place. He died in my place so I could live. Isn't that wonderful? And Matthew says, on that night before Jesus was apprehended, that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, which was the fruit of the vine, grape juice. And he took that cup and he gave it to his disciples and he said, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Where would I be without that? Well, he said, this is my body that's given for you. I'd be condemned to death without it. If Jesus hadn't done what he did for me, I'd be condemned to death, and you would too. And he said, this blood, he said, it's shed for many for the remission of sins. You know where I'd be if he hadn't shed his blood for me? I couldn't get rid of those sins. I'd have every sin that I'd ever committed since I got big enough to know my right from my left on my soul. I'd be contaminated. I'd be condemned, and I couldn't get rid of those sins. I could go wash in all the rivers I wanted to, but they wouldn't wash away. I've heard some of the young girls that used to wash in buttermilk. I don't know what it was good for. I thought they wanted to smell sweet instead of smell sour. But anyway, some kind of therapy, I guess. But I could go bathe in buttermilk if I wanted to. That wouldn't get rid of my sins. Couldn't get rid of sins if it hadn't been for the blood of Christ. What a great memorial this is to take my mind back and to help me remember that Jesus died in my place that I might live. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Well, what are some of the things that we need to remember on this Memorial Day weekend? Well, you know, when times are good, we need to remember maybe where we have been. You know, I'm thankful for a good setting the food on the table, aren't you? Told Margaret the other day, I said, you know, we may not have much, but we've got plenty to eat. We eat like a king, don't we? You know, I like hot dogs and bologna. That's a poor man's steak, isn't it? But, you know, I'm thankful for it, because I remember back when I was a kid, we had a crop failure and times were hard, and my grandma told me it was times it used to be harder back during the war. And she'd go to the old corn crib and get out a few ears of corn. She'd put that old apron on, and she'd get one of those old black, she called them smoothing irons. Y'all ever seen them? They heated them in the fireplace and ironed them. Didn't have electric iron back then. She had two or three of them, three or four of them, I guess. And she'd put that apron on, and she'd put that old iron down upside down in her lap. She'd take the old claw hammer and take that corn. She'd shell it off. She'd hit them grains of corn on that old smoothing iron, that old iron, and catch it in her apron. When she got mess of it, she'd soak that stuff, crack corn, and cook it. And it was something to eat. And I to this day, I don't care for grits because it tastes too much like that cracked corn. I don't need any more of that. But anyway, we need to remember the hard times. We need to remember where we've been and not take our blessings for granted. In Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 15, God told his people, you know, to keep the Sabbath. That was a Jew's memorial of God resting on the seventh day and so forth. And it says, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. Now this is back in a time when they had slaves. And most of these slaves were people from the other nations that they'd captured or bought and made slaves out of. It wasn't their brothers. And you know, when they sat down to rest on that day, what would have been their inclination to do? Why, to send those slaves out to milk the cow and to feed the pigs and do all that stuff that needed doing. Or to send that maid out to get something, go out in the garden, gather something, fix it to eat, or to go out and kill the chicken or whatever and fry it, so they could rest. God said, don't you do that. Don't you make your servants go out and work in your place. He said, thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as you. Now look what it said in verse 15. And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out. Remember back when times were hard and you were slaves. Don't you be mean to your servant. You know, sometimes bosses need to remember that too, not to be mean to their hired hands. Because probably one time they were a hired hand. They may have forgotten about it. So we need to remember things to help us choose the right path. And over again in Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, verse 21, God said, when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it after. You know what gleaning is? It's going, getting the ones that you missed the first time. Or maybe some that weren't good and ripe. First time you cut the bunches and they got ripe later, you send somebody out there to go get them. So don't do that. He says, it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And you know, these people, when they harvested their grain, they would leave the corners of the field, and they would leave some places that, you know, weren't convenient to get to or something. And the homeless and those that were in need, they'd go out there and they'd gather that, and they'd sell it, and they'd have them a little money, you know. And, you know, some of the people would intentionally leave some, leave a little extra for them. Let them get out there and get it, and have a little something. You know, it's a little different to our welfare. You know, they had to do a little something to get it. They didn't have to grow it, but they had to harvest. So they appreciated it a little more, didn't they? But God said in verse 22, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Remember. Remember the hard time. Remember And these people, they were not really the people that were bonds people. It had been, it was their children. It was their descendants. And as remembering that, they would remember back to where their families had been. And remember that their families, their ancestors had been in need and had been dependent upon people leaving them something in the field. And that would cause them to be more willing to leave something in the field for the needy people to get. So we need to remember things. We need to remember hard times whenever we have plenty. We need to remember to help the needy, because if we weren't there ourselves sometimes, our ancestors were. And then we need to remember God.
Amen.
Don't forget about God. Deuteronomy 8:18. He says, when you've eaten and are full, and you built good houses and dwelled in them, your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, all you got's multiplied, and don't let your heart be lifted up and forget God, but remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives thee the power to get wealth. That's Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. Oh, so many times when people get affluent, and when they have plenty, and they're successful, they forget about their need for God. We don't need to forget God. We need to remember God. Deuteronomy 32:18 says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten the God that formed thee. Isn't that something? Forgetting the very God whose hands formed you out of the dust of the ground. That's pitiful, ain't it? You know, a lot of people are forgetting the God that formed them. They're thinking that they came out of a slimy green pond somewhere. They don't even know that God formed them. But He did. Jeremiah 2:32. God said, can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? You ever hear of a bride going to the wedding and forgetting her wedding dress? I never heard of that. Been forgetful of me. If I were a bride, I might. But anyway, He said, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Isn't that pitiful? We don't need to forget God. It hurts God when we forget about Him. When we don't take time to study His Word, to pray to Him, to remember and talk to Him. God wants us to talk to Him. I don't know sometimes why He puts up with us, but He does, and He wants us to talk to Him. Keep Him a little company. He made us for His glory. Let's not forget Him. We need to remember our unworthiness. In Ezekiel 20, there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, when I have borne with you, in other words, worked with you, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings. So we need to remember how unworthy we are. Not be lifted up with pride and think that we're something. We need to remember how unworthy we are, and whatever we are, God made us what we are, and we didn't deserve it. We need to remember that. Psalm 105:5, remember His marvelous works that He has done. Remember what God has done. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Don't forget about God. We need to remember how God can provide for us. Jesus said in Matthew 16:9, do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? Remember, God can take care of us. We could talk about a lot of things if we had the time. Remember how God took care of the children of Israel? Fed them with manna, all that. Gave them water out of the rock. God can take care of them. We need to remember that the Lord has said, or what the Lord has said, that it may guide our lives. Paul said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to remember what the Lord said. Remember the things He said. Talk about them. Sometimes we need to remember where we used to be and where we'd still be if the Lord hadn't been merciful to us. The old song says, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me. Dear Lord, sometimes we need to remember where we used to be when we're not as close to the Lord as we ought to be. We need to remember where we used to be as Christians. You know, some people are not as faithful in church as they used to be. Some people are, they don't have as much faith as they used to have. In Revelation 2:5, Jesus told the Christians at Asia, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee shortly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place. And he said in chapter 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If you won't repent and watch, then I'll come on you as a thief. There's someone here today that needs to remember when you were more faithful to the Lord than you are now. Is there someone that needs to rededicate your life to the Lord? You need the prayers of the church. If you do, we're here to pray with you and for you. Is there someone here today that's never yet named that great name and never obeyed the gospel and put on your Lord in baptism? We're here to assist you if you're here today. Remember, reflect, think about things. Don't just go through life blindly. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord, can we help you to get ready? If you're subject, won't you come? While we stand, while we sing.